Well, I thought I'd start this morning by having some word image associations. I've got some pictures and phrases that are going to appear on the screen. And I would like you to call out who or what you associate with the things that you see on the screen. Who or what do these things make you think of? I thought I'd start with a pretty obvious one. Who or what does this make you think of? Maccas, exactly. Evidently, it, along with Coca-Cola, is one of the most recognised symbols worldwide. Boys and girls, I hope you can see the screen, because I think the adults are going to need help with this next one. Okay, boys and girls, are you seeing the screen? Who or what do you think of with this picture? Paw Patrol, absolutely. My grandchildren have helped me discover Paw Patrol, and I've actually found myself watching it at home without them. Boys and girls, here's another one. Maybe a bit harder than Paw Patrol, maybe. Anyone recognise this one? Oh, Dr. Knotts, exactly. I haven't watched them on my own, but I'm thinking seriously about doing it. Let's change it up a bit. Let's do some words. Who or what do these words make you think of? Nike, who or what do these words make you think of? Who or what do these words make you think of? Had to give equal time to Hungry Jack's. Quick survey, who thinks the burgers are better? No, okay. Last one, who or what do these words make you think of? Us, exactly. I hope that's no surprise to you. Here at BPC, we are all for Jesus. We are unashamedly about Jesus in everything we do. We are centered on Jesus Christ. That does raise the question of why. What's the big deal about Jesus? Why would we be all for him? Now, there's lots of places we could go to in the Bible to think about that. A lot of places. The place we're going to this morning is Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, and Emma's going to read those verses for us.
Good morning, church. So we're reading from Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
What a great passage. So many things in that passage. In a couple of weeks' time, we'll be returning to it, as from next week, we'll be reading right through the book of Philippians together on our Sunday mornings. But for our purposes this morning, feel free to call this out. Did you notice anything in that passage that would be a reason for us being all for Jesus? Don't be bashful, you're amongst friends. Martin thinks the whole passage. It's probably not a bad one. Let's just look at the last bit of it. In particular, what about that last paragraph? What do you notice there? What's it telling us about Jesus? Look at some of the words that are used there. Exalted, highest, every. There's actually three everys, aren't there? Above the earth, in heaven, under the earth. Friends, that particularly that last paragraph is pointing out to us that Jesus is the Lord of all. He's the master of all. And therefore, he deserves all. We are all for Jesus because of simply who Jesus is. He is extraordinary. He is the Lord of everyone. And it is our desire as a church family that we therefore live all for him, and we want all peoples to know of him. How are we going to do that moving forward? We'll think about it in a moment. For now, let's sing about the truths that that passage explains to us. In that Bible reading earlier, here's a section from it again. In that amazing paragraph about Jesus being exalted to the highest place, tucked away in that paragraph is one particular word that I'd especially like us to notice this morning, because it's a word that will help us understand one important part of living all for Jesus. It's the word, therefore. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. In other words, as a result of everything that's just been said about Jesus up until then, as a result of Jesus not considering equality with God something to be grasped, as a result of Jesus making himself nothing, as a result of Jesus humbling himself even to death, as a result of Jesus' extraordinary servanthood, therefore, God exalted him. That is a word worth noticing because it taps into the way God thinks and the way God loves the attitude of humble servanthood. And therefore, God honours and God values and God delights in those who serve others. And in the case of Jesus, it's effectively because he was the greatest servant of all that he is therefore exalted to the highest place of all. Because think about it. The extent to which Jesus served us is without parallel. I mean, before becoming Jesus, he was the divine word of God, the powerful, creative dimension of God from which everything you see sprang into being. And yet the word of God left the unimaginable riches of heaven to make himself nothing, the passage says. Nothing. The ESV words it as he emptied himself. When you empty something, what's left? Nothing. And the Son of God did that for us. He came from the riches of heaven, and he was born as a defenseless baby who had to rely on other people to feed him and burp him and keep him safe. And then as a man, he never stopped serving, having complete strangers constantly coming up to him and asking him for favours and advice, dealing with his friends not really knowing what he was on about, to the point that one of his friends actually betrayed him and then the rest of his friends afterwards deserted him. And then the indignity of a corrupt trial where now complete strangers were making up lies about him. And then the humiliation of an execution where he gets stripped naked and tortured and they're making fun of him. And as a selfless servant, Jesus took it all for us so we could be forgiven and restored. For us. He just kept giving and serving and giving and serving and giving and serving until there was nothing left to give. Giving up his death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. Can you see what that says about God? Can you see how much God values and honors humility and servanthood? God's kingdom runs on it. It's how his kingdom was ushered in, and it's the mindset that pervades everything. A kingdom where the first will be last and the last will be first. A kingdom where Jesus pointed out, whoever wants to be great needs to be a slave of all. Serving others is the air we breathe as followers of Jesus. So if we want to live all for Jesus, it's all about serving. And this year here at BPC, we're going to especially explore that. If you've been around here for a little while, you know that each year we have a special ministry focus. Last year it was actively inviting people to discover Jesus. This year our aim is to serve Jesus by serving like Jesus. We want to grow in our joy and our commitment to serve Jesus and each other. What exactly will that mean? Well, we'll get to that.
Morning, everyone. My name is Tristan. Well, Philippians has shown us, and Bryson's helped us to see how Jesus' kingdom runs on servanthood. Serving others is the air we breathe as followers of Jesus. How do you feel about serving Jesus this year? Maybe you feel a little bit like me. Last year, I started swimming laps down at the pool. I know that might be really hard to believe, given this astonishing lack of upper body physique, but it's actually true. I started swimming laps at the pool. Some days I'm really pumped to go down and swim laps, so I'm ready to go, bursting to get down there and dive in. Now, maybe when it comes to serving Jesus, you feel like that. You're keen, you're excited, you're ready to go. There are days, though, where I just drag myself down to the pool. I am tired, there's no motivation. Maybe when it comes to serving Jesus, maybe you feel like that. Some days, honestly, the pool feels like an obligation, you know, because I paid the membership, got to make the most of it. Maybe serving Jesus feels like an obligation. Maybe you feel like I did last year, the very first time I went down to the pool. I knew that I could swim because I had done it a long time ago when I was younger and fitter. But I was nervous. I was really genuinely worried that I was going to completely embarrass myself by like drowning, needing rescue halfway down the first 25 metres. Maybe when it comes to serving, you're nervous like that. Maybe you feel like I did when I was a few weeks in to my swimming. I got on YouTube to figure out how to do it properly. How to swim more than a few laps without getting completely exhausted. Maybe you need the support. Maybe you need to be equipped to serve Jesus without burning out. Hey, maybe you feel like I did just this week. I really wanted to go down to the pool and do some laps, but I was just so busy I didn't know where I'd find the time. Maybe you don't know where you would find the time to serve Jesus. Those are exactly the kinds of things that we'd love to help you with this year. Because we want to grow. We want to grow in our joy and our commitment and our ability to serve Jesus and serve each other. Because, you know, all that stuff in Philippians about serving, Jesus serving and giving and serving and giving until there was nothing left to give. Philippians wants us to serve like that. Did you notice what Philippians said? Here it is up on the screen, right at the top there. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Philippians says, we want to serve Jesus by serving like Jesus. We want to have the mindset of Jesus. This year, we want to grow to serve Jesus with conviction and with joy and with thankfulness. So look, in order for that to happen, starting next week, we're going to dive into Philippians. We've had a mouthful of it today, but starting next week, we're going to read Philippians through from start to finish this term. We're going to think about what it means for us to live Jesus-shaped lives. Now, later on in the year, we're going to read the Old Testament books of Joshua and Nehemiah, plus 2 Peter and also a big chunk of John's Gospel. In those books of the Bible, there's so much for us to discover about God's grace to us in Jesus. Those books of the Bible are not all about serving, but as we read them through this year, we will particularly have the radio in the background tuned to the frequency of serving Jesus well. As we do that through the year, so as to help us put what we learn from the Bible into practice, we do also have one key event planned. It's called Improve Your Serve. In a few weeks' time, about halfway through this term, all of our small groups are going to pause for a week so that all of us instead can come and improve our serve. We're going to think about what the Bible says about serving, because again, we want to be convinced in our hearts. We want to be eager to serve. We want to serve because of what Jesus has done for us. But we're also going to learn how to serve effectively, how to serve sustainably. There'll be lots of practical skills, how we can be creative and imaginative and wise about serving Jesus. And we're going to celebrate the gospel good that comes from serving as people are helped and welcomed and encouraged and discipled. So here's the kinds of things that you might expect if you come along to improve your serve. Things like how to be hospitable, how to welcome people, maybe how to be involved in our new kids club that's starting this year, BX Kids, how to share Jesus, how to serve here on Sundays at morning church, how we can serve in our small groups, how to care for each other. Look, there's so many ways that we can serve. In fact, if you've got ways that you've been thinking about serving and you'd like for us to talk about them, let us know. We'd love to help you serve well. And so improve your serve. It's happening in term one. It's going to happen again in term two and then again in term four. In between those, in term three, there's some significant men's and women's events coming up as well. All the details of how those events are going to run, just stay tuned. They're going to be organized specifically to help as many of us as possible to grow in serving Jesus well. Interspersed between all of that throughout the year, look out for lots and lots of different ways that you'll be encouraged and given opportunities to serve. How do you feel about serving Jesus this year? Are you raring to go? Are you tired, overwhelmed? Are you too busy? You feel guilty maybe because you think you're not serving enough. You don't know where to start. Hey, look, maybe you're not even convinced that it's worthwhile at all to bother serving Jesus. Wherever you are in all of that, this year is for you. Because we would love to grow in you a conviction and a joy and an eagerness and a confidence to serve Christ Jesus.
I'm Jason. Some of you may be aware of this, but up on the screen is a map, courtesy of Google, of roughly where it is our family moved from about a month ago. Made this epic journey down south from Townsville. You may have seen in the news, Townsville's getting a little bit of rain at the moment. I just got a text just then from our tenants in our house saying it's all good. Had to screw a few roof nails in or something like that, but we're pretty good, so that's great, isn't it? Moving was epic. We'd been up there for 12 years. We got 5 kids, and we couldn't just wake up one morning and go to Google Removalist, and find Gordy and say, Gordy, can you move us down to Bathurst next week, 2,500 Ks? Oh, by the way, we've got a dog, and my wife wants to move 480 pot plants. Is that going to be all right? You can't move like that, by the way. Stats are argued over after the last service. Roughly 30% of them died in the trip, so that's a bit of a sensitive thing. You can't just up and move your life like that, can you? You can't just change direction without thought. I've been ulcerating for about 3 months about moving in the lead up to that, you know, getting quotes from different removalists, thinking about what to sell and what to keep and which kids to bring and which kids not to bring, and all these big decisions that you have to make. How many cars do we have? There's so many cars. It's a big thing when you're trying to change the direction of your life and you're trying to uproot everything and change. You know, that's what we're actually talking about doing this year with the whole theme of serve. We're talking about changing the direction of our life. We're talking about no longer serving ourselves, but serving the Lord Jesus. And it's actually hard to do that. And you can't just sit down one day and go, right, I'm going to do it and not put any thought into it or any planning to it. And so Bryson and Ed and Tristan and the elders have been thinking about what things we can do this year. How can we plan to change our hearts and our actions so that we serve? And you've seen the fruit of some of their planning in Tristan's talk just a little while ago. We can serve Jesus by serving like Jesus, by improving our serve, by coming to these training nights, by listening to talks about being servant-hearted. These guys have actually put some thought and planning into how we're going to learn to serve this year. But part of the job that I've got here with you guys is not just to think through how to serve this year, but how to be all for Jesus in 2025, and in the next 5 years, and the next 10 years, and beyond. How are we going to be all for Jesus as a church family into the future? Well, I just want to touch on what Bryson spoke on earlier. Why do we want to be all for Jesus? Well, it's because it was in that passage, isn't it, that Bryson mentioned. Now, let's have a look at those few verses again briefly. God exalted him, this is Philippians 2 from verse 9. God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is exalted by God. He's been put in the highest place. There's none higher than Jesus. You know, I have a lot of conversations with people at church, and, you know, I'll talk to the husband and the wife, and one of them will say jokingly, well, you can see who the boss is. Jesus is the boss. He's higher than your spouse. He's higher than your boss. He's higher than Anthony Albanese. He's even higher than Donald Trump. Jesus has been exalted by God. He's been given the position of supreme authority. And as a result, what does that mean for us? We're told in verse 10 that all things are for him. Everything's been put under his feet. Every knee should bow. Every tongue confess, my memory verse tells me. Every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. That passage is saying, because Jesus is Lord, we're meant to be all for him. We recognize his authority. You know, I love Two Ways to Live, the gospel tract. I don't know if you're familiar with that. But it's such a beautiful illustration. When we become Christian, when we commit to following Jesus, we acknowledge that the crown is no longer on our own head. We lay down our crown. And we acknowledge there's a different crown, a greater crown, a Lord that we sit under. And we're now all for him by his grace through the power of his Spirit working in our lives, right? So we say we're all for Jesus because we acknowledge that he's Lord. But we also say we recognize Jesus' authority is over everybody. Not just me, but over everybody. Every knee will bow. All the knees in Bathurst, they'll bow. And so my vested interest in my life is no longer just me staying somebody who acknowledges Jesus' Lordship, but I actually recognise that everybody at some stage, hopefully before they go to the grave, is going to have to bend their knee to the Lord. All for Jesus. Me, all of me for Jesus. But all are for Jesus. What does it look like to live that out? Are you all for Jesus as an individual? Your house, your money, your time, your family. How have you planned to use everything in your life for Him? Life's complex, remember. It takes thought and planning to change the direction of your life. You can't just go, I'm going to change today and then not think about it again and expect it to happen. What do you have? What's God given you? I know a mate, he's a mechanic, right? And you think, how can you use mechanicking to be all for Jesus? Or service my car? Although he won't do that. But what he's doing is he's actually decided to become a chaplain to motor racing, right? That's great, isn't it? He's actually catalogued his gifts and he's gone, well, that's how I can be all for Jesus. I was meeting with a lady through the week who's an accountant. She's good with numbers. She's actually, I mean, how could you ever use that for the gospel, right? Well, she's decided she could probably help the church out with their finances. She's all for Jesus. She's thinking, what have I got? How can I use it? How can I serve? What do you have? Three cars? You got a kitchen table? Has anybody here got an oven in their house? Your retirement? Maybe your job? You have to think through, how can I use all these things? When we moved our life, we had to think through, what were we keeping? What were we losing? Are we going to use this? Is it going to be part of our new life? If we're all for Jesus, we have to catalogue ourselves and think about our future. We almost need to grab a piece of butcher's paper and write on the top, all for Jesus, and then kind of go through everything and write down, no, that's not going to be on there. Just brainstorm what life will look like for you. Will we sell this? Will we buy that? Will we move here? Part of my role here is to do that process with the whole of Bathurst Presbyterian. Apart from serving Jesus this year, well, this is still serving Jesus, we're going to be getting a piece of butcher's paper and writing on the top, all for Jesus. Maybe it won't be actual butcher's paper, it might be figurative butcher's paper. What we're going to do is work out, what does being all for Jesus mean for Bathurst Presbyterian as we move into the future? Blank slate, right? Blank sheet. We're going to knock down this building. That'd be better for the gospel. Calm down, it's just a joke, right? What are we going to do? It might involve radical change. You know, I've got a mate, and he's a carpenter, and he said to me, I'm not going to invite my mates here. It's weird about our church. Not this church. Another church I used to be part of recently. And I was like, what's weird about it? And he explained it to me. I thought, we've got to change that, haven't we? We're all for Jesus. Jesus wants his tradie mates to come to church. What do we need to change? What do we need to do differently? Now, I don't know. I haven't been here for very long. We could be doing everything perfectly at the moment. So it may be a year where we kind of get to the end and go, well, phew, that was, we're nailing it. But it might be a year where we kind of go, well, you know what? We've got to make some big decisions. Some of these pot plants have to go. What will it look like for us as a church to be all for Jesus? I'm actually really excited about thinking that through with you. Because when a community is all for Jesus, when a community like us are living for the Lord, it can actually have a radical impact on the town that we're part of. I tried my hardest to get a recognisable part of Bathurst on that picture there. I hope that's recognisable. We can have a radical and eternal impact on the people in this town as a church family. I think about our local school that we were part of in Townsville. A number of people at church just said, we're going to send our kids here. And together we're going to try and engage people with the gospel. As a church, the church prayed for them. And the result of that is that some people actually started coming to church. Some just went to events or children's programs. Some gave their life to the Lord Jesus. That's an eternal shift brought about by strategically thinking, how can we use what we have to reach the people of this community for Christ? How can we do that? What are your circumstances? How can this church be a church that helps your life and the people in your life to be all for Jesus? Well, I'm excited about thinking that through with you guys this year. Stay tuned for how that's going to work. It's not in my head yet, but we'll pray and we'll ask God to guide us as we try to live all for Him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as the psalmist says, not to us, Lord, but to You be the glory. We want to be all for You in all things. Father, we want to serve You this year by serving like Jesus. But in all of life, as individuals and as a church family, Father, we want to live in such a way that not only bends our knee before You, but helps this whole community, this whole town, to come to know the Lord Jesus and acknowledge Him as Lord. Father, You've given us brains and You've given us resources. You've given us means and You've given us Your Spirit and Your Word. So please guide us so that we might live all for You. And we pray this in the name of our Saviour, Your Son, Jesus. Amen.